So we're going to shortcut this to try and give you something to think about, and hopefully it will raise other questions. And I know that Devin, Ben, and certainly I are available to talk about questions that you may have afterwards. With that, and again, Devin did all the work, so let's see what he's got to show.
Well, thank you, Judge. I'm so happy to see everybody as well. It's a beautiful morning, a great conference, and Judge Jones and Ben have an excellent discussion prepared for all of you on the use of market data in fraudulent transfer litigation. To start us off, I'm going to ask that we all engage in an imagination exercise and imagine a fact scenario that most of us are well acquainted with. Some of us have litigated it multiple times. Turn your clocks back about 18 months. 18 months ago, Debtor Incorporated transferred significant assets to its affiliate, Affiliate Corporation. Over the next 18 months, Debtor Inc. faced significant financial distress, eventually filing a petition to liquidate under Chapter 7 of the Bankruptcy Code. Trustee, of course, a Chapter 7 trustee was appointed, and immediately, as you might predict, brings a fraudulent transfer action to avoid the transfer of assets 18 months ago from Debtor Inc. to Affiliate Co. Affiliate Co. wisely retains Ben Finestone to represent it in this fraudulent transfer litigation. Ben walks up and down the hallways of the law firm looking for the most intelligent, most articulate, most handsome, most charming associate he can find. Unfortunately, that associate's too busy, so he asks me to provide the opening statement, which I gladly do. I say to Judge Jones at the opening, Judge, we're going to provide you market data. Evidence of market data that irrefutably proves that Debtor Inc. was solvent 18 months ago at the time of the transfer from Debtor Inc. to Affiliate Co. Now, Judge, when you hear that, what do you expect me to show you when I say market data?
That's a very fair question. And what I hear you saying is that when you do that, you're going to show me that the trading price of, in its most simplest terms, that the trading price of the debtor's equity times the number of shares outstanding is going to be a positive number. Really simple. I'm going to get excited because this is going to be an easy one to resolve, right? It's going to be very simple math. Even my antiquated HP12C, which I love, it will do that calculation.
Ben, if I put on that evidence, am I going to keep my job?
Yeah, I think that the judge is not doing it justice because it is very difficult for bank. I've never been a bankruptcy judge, but I imagine that it's very difficult for bankruptcy judges to sit in a courtroom and listen to dueling experts explain to them what they've spent maybe the last month developing. And ask the judge to make a call which of these high-paid experts are providing the right answer. That's a very, very difficult exercise, and I think it's a difficult exercise that in this case we're able to skip over because we all know experts are hired to advance the party's case. They're independent, but they're generally chosen once the conclusion is the kind of conclusion that the party wants to submit to the judge. We know that even amicus submissions are advancing their own interests, but trading data is very, very pure. The insider has no ability to modify or alter the trading data. This trading data is the product of sophisticated money managers making trades, moms and pops making trades, brothers and sisters making trades, people that are on TikTok making trades, people that are on Twitter making trades. None of them have any interest in, or even could foresee this frivolous litigation that's being brought by a bankruptcy trustee who is seeking to generate his own personal recoveries out of this gambit. We've got the ultimate amicus for the court. It's contemporaneous, it's unbiased, completely trustworthy. No one has ever asserted successfully any objection to keep that kind of evidence out of court. And this one should be wrapped up pretty quickly. I hear a lot about absolute priority from all of you. I'm not a bankruptcy professional, but I'm lectured about absolute priority. I've let my equity interest go in this case. I accept absolute priority. But if you know so much about absolute priority, then let's go back in time when this transfer was made. Everybody else knew about absolute priority, and this stock was still trading. So this is a solvent entity. From what I've learned about fraudulent transfer actions, is it's about recovering for creditors. And this one, I think, should be disposed of on the pleadings under Twombly, and we should move on and spend our money on something that actually helps businesses restructure.
All right, so you heard that eloquent argument to the court. How many of you are persuaded? I mean, Ben's just said this case is going to be over, it's going to stop. It's simple math. It is independent. It is comprised of hundreds, if not thousands, of data points in a market that is supposed to be efficient and smart and intelligent. People's money is at risk. Everybody persuaded? Case win? Do you want me to call on people? I mean, I can still do that.
Judge, I don't know if I'm persuaded. I think I want to hear the perspective of a really good trustee's attorney.
So let me, and we'll certainly do that. But let me ask. So you've heard Ben's argument. So now let me ask you this: if Ben is right,